When you're looking for a new home or investment property, why not seek an almost 30-year experienced businessman and real estate professional who loves the cultures of Chicago and understands the Chicagoland housing market? When you choose Ford Desired Real Estate LLC, LaShawn K. Ford will answer all your questions about securing a mortgage and providing valuable information for your purchase. LaShawn's house hunting kit includes a detailed summary of area schools, nearby amenities, and testimonials from homeowners who live in your neighborhood of choice. LaShawn knows this city better than anyone and can expertly consult you on property values. He'll take the pulse of your prospective community by highlighting neighborhood activities and notable facts. To list your property or to start looking for your next investment property, call LaShawn at 773-379-4663. That's Ford Desired Real Estate LLC at 773-379-4663.
Well, it's another episode of Chicago Hill. I'm LaShawn Ford, coming straight from the West Side and of Chicago.
I'm Malika. I'm coming from Evanston, the North Shore.
Good morning. And I'm Mark Pesakovich, and I'm sort of the opposite of what I'm supposed to be, which is seen and not heard. I guess I can be heard, but not seen. But I'm coming back from Oak Park, just to the west of the west side of Whoville.
let me just say, you know, there's something going on in my life. And I got to say, Mark, you might be able to help me and all the parents that's got this going on. My daughter is about to go away to college. She's about to leave. And it's been 18 years that she's been right here, maybe gone away for a week somewhere, but now she's going to be gone until Thanksgiving.
Mm-mm-mm.
I don't know what to do. I mean, you know, Malika, you know, and Mark, I even told you guys, I'm ready for her to go. I'm very excited. And I was talking about how her mother was struggling with it. And she really is, really, it's really hard for her knowing that this day is coming. But now I'm feeling some kind of way. What the heck is going on? I mean, what is life about? I mean, they just come in your life, rip it apart, and leave. Now, what am I supposed to do?
Oh, you're an empty nester.
And I think I actually can give you a little advice on this. It does get better, but you know, it's interesting because as parents, we lose a little bit of our own identity in our kids, so to speak. And so, you know, I mean, who cares that you're an important politician in Chicago? She certainly doesn't.
Right.
You know, the thing that you've become is Tia's father.
Look, you're absolutely right. You know, whenever I would go to her school, it's not, hey, Mr. Ford, that's Tia's dad. But you're right. Who cares? She definitely doesn't care because this weekend was Lollapalooza, whatever you call it, la-la. And what's so funny, absolutely right. So there's no way a lobbyist or another legislator or anybody that I know will make me go downtown and stand in line, not once, not twice, but three times to get tickets.
There you go. There you go.
I had to go down to pick up her ticket. Then she wanted her friend to go. And she said, could you go get the ticket for her? And then she said, my cousin's going. Could you go? Now, I'm a state representative, little girl.
Oh.
Yeah, I wouldn't think of making you wait in line, even though we're friends.
Right.
Yeah, well, you know, and so that's the thing. And, I think it needs to be said that you're also to be congratulated because we want to work ourselves to that point where they launch and they're, you know, off to, in your case, Howard University. And we're really proud of them. And But I'll tell you, when we dropped her off for school, I cried like a baby.
Did you really?
Absolutely.
Oh, goodness.
I cried like a baby. And, you know, I'll be curious to see if you can pull it off without, you know, some dust getting in your eyes.
Oh, that's good. The dust got in my eyes. Yeah, I didn't, you know, I wouldn't expect to cry, but it is becoming more and more moving.
Real.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, every day we're talking every day, even when I'm in Springfield, it's like, I could come home anytime and I'm right there. But it's like Springfield, it's like you go for a few days, then you're back. We're talking about she's getting ready to go and be gone August, September, October, and November with no return until Thanksgiving, if she decides to come back.
Yeah, that's right.
If she decides to come home for the holiday.
She might go to another state with a friend for Thanksgiving.
Ah,
that's a possibility.
Ah, there you go.
That's a possibility.
Yeah, I just don't get it, Malika. You know, kids come, they come into your life because, of course, they didn't ask to come. But when you dedicate, and I mean, you're every being, and then you got to start all over. It's amazing. So I want to congratulate all the people that have dedicated their lives to making sure their children are on the right track. It's a big sacrifice. And I got to tell you, it's really, really worth it. It's worth it.
My stepdad would say when each of us had left, he told my mom and his first wife, well, now we're going to see what kind of tools we gave them.
Oh,
yeah.
Look at Malika trying to make me feel like you okay, LaShawn.
Yeah. Now you're going to see what kind of tools you gave her. And we know you gave Tia some great tools to get through this thing called life. So
it's just, you just don't know what these people that's struggling with mental health problems, people that are hopeless, what their, motives are and how they might interact with our loved ones. That's who you really worry about. Because when you think about all the people at the parade in Highland Park, all the people in Chicago that's innocent bystanders that struck by gun violence, you know, they were doing everything right. Just trying to enjoy a movie in a park, ice cream with family, getting their hair braided in the house and getting shot. We're watching the parade, but some deranged person interrupts the joy.
Yeah. Having a child takes the what ifing to a whole another level. We what if game play, you know, a scenario sometimes, but it's an entirely another thing when it's your kid. All of a sudden there are things you think of and things that you worry about that you never thought about before. One of the things that I like about this experience, and I almost feel like a point of commonality that a lot of people don't recognize is, you know, whatever your amount of wealth, whatever your pigmentation, whatever your ethnic background, you put a bunch of parents together talking about how vulnerable they are to their kids. And that's just a common humanity that sometimes escapes us in other kinds of situations. You know, there's nothing like talking about kids to humanize people to each other, because we also, you know, any parent so intrinsically understands the soft spot in your heart, the vulnerability, the thing that, you know, any fearless person can be scared by. And that's, what if something happens to my kid, you know? And so in that way, it's something that really binds all of us together in an interesting way.
Yeah. Well,
you both have girls. So have you taught them like self-defense and things like that? Like what did you teach them to protect themselves from you know, the bad guys out there, especially going to college.
Well, that's funny because when Tia was in elementary school early, I think it was in kindergarten, and she was at a Catholic school, and a little boy punched her in the stomach. I'm like, oh my God, punched you in your stomach? We went and we signed up for karate. Tia took karate starting in kindergarten. The little boy, of course, liked her. I can't imagine him punching her real hard, but he punched my baby. And, you know, that was just ridiculous.
Did you want to grab him up by his collar when you saw him?
You know, when I saw him, you know, he really liked Tia, and he's just a dumb little boy. And that's not how you show you like somebody. Right. And for the record,
doesn't he know you're supposed to pull their hair?
And call them names.
That's right.
Oh, Lord. So I don't know. But, you know, talking about Lala has got his contract back to come back for 2023, a 10-year deal. I mean, wow. A 10-year deal was reached with the city of Chicago, Mayor Lori Lightfoot, for Lala to return next year. Is it $1 billion weekend?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's huge. That's huge.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome.
It was great. I mean, it's really the joy of going to stand in line to get those tickets to see people happy and to know that I was had to deliver for my daughter. Like, because the only reason why I really did it, because she definitely, I couldn't let her go down there and get all wondering what to do. So we made sure that she had order about her weekend. So we got her a hotel room, and their cousins and friends, they were able to be there. So we knew what room, and she could go walk across the street instead of wondering what she had to do. So try to give it as much structure as possible. But to see so many people in Chicago from all across the, I would say all across the United States, come in and enjoy Chicago. They were happy. Mm-hmm. That was beautiful.
My mom would have been like, how you getting there?
See?
Well, you got money? Yeah. Wow. Bet it was a blast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. People were happy down there. And I don't know, what was the, were there any incidents that, you know, were alarming that we had to endure?
I didn't hear of any. And that would have been the perfect place if somebody wanted to, you know, pop off, snap off.
Yeah.
That would have been the perfect place to do it. I didn't hear of any. So that's a great thing.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure that they wouldn't get another contract if something did happen.
Right. That would have been the end. You know, and they talked about it was going to be a lot of drugs and the fentanyl that's circulating. They were worried that there were going to be overdoses out there because it's a park full of drugs, they said. But I didn't hear of any fatal deaths from drugs. I didn't hear of any violence that was down there during that time. So I would say it was a success. And I want to congratulate the Chicago police and the mayor of the city of Chicago for putting on a spectacular weekend in a time that has been so challenging in Chicago and across the country.
Mm-hmm. I have a question. For you, what do you, so Lollapalooza, a lot of people spending a lot of money downtown Chicago. There was a huge police presence. Where do you, how do you feel about the argument that, you know, the police were protecting the rich, mostly white concert goers downtown rather than being in the neighborhoods protecting people? What do you guys think about that?
Ladies first.
Well, after what happened in Highland Park, I figure they're like, you know, we gotta be prepared because this is just so random. It's just some nutcakes out there. You know, I always say, you know, some lives seem to be more valued than others. And Lollapalooza really, you know, you really have to be careful because of the climate that we're in with all these mass shootings. And it doesn't seem to be just a race thing. I mean, a crazy shooter is a crazy shooter. So that would have been just catastrophe if anything had happened at Lollapalooza. I mean, it just would have been a massacre. But I really wish we had that kind of protection in other communities.
That's it. Well. That's where I want to come right in. I believe it's great. I believe that there should be that type of protection at Lolla, but it should also be everywhere. So when we get to a point in society where we realize that we could protect the life and liberty of everybody, and everybody could enjoy the riches of America, the riches of Chicago, the riches of Illinois, then we're better off. It doesn't make sense to think that this country in Illinois, the city of Chicago, could only provide safety, health, and wealth to certain people. Everybody can have it. And so when we have leaders that understand that you don't have to only give to one, but everyone could enjoy it, then we're on the right track. I just don't see why in certain communities it's safer. In certain communities, you have better grocery stores or even grocery stores. I don't understand. So we need to get to a point in this city where every community is have everything that it needs to be vibrant, safe, and healthy. And it can happen.
Has anyone seen any of the protests and marches with Highland Park? I mean, I only saw a few videos of parents, mothers mainly, from Highland Park protesting, having a rally. But it would have been like really powerful if they had reached out to some Black parents, some Black mothers, and they were like lock arms together. I mean, there could be some videos out there I didn't see, but I was looking for that. To see us come together.
I haven't seen it, but I think a time will come where it will happen. Right now, Highland Park, they are experiencing a trauma that they've never had to endure. And they may not be in the mindset to say, let's reach out, because now we got to heal our community, and then we will be prepared to go out and do so. I think that it will take leaders to pull people together. I reached out to the senator and the state rep in those areas to say, hey, let's work together. Let's bring these communities together so that we can learn from one another, so that we can make sure that the resources are for all people, all communities, and we can make this a issue about saving lives and not just about guns.
The whole Highland Park thing is actually making me sad and disappointed in a way that is new to me, because yes, the Highland Park is more diverse than they give it credit for. Yes, it's not just all really rich white people who live there, but it is a
mostly
wealthy community. It is an upper middle class and up kind of a community. I watch them and they seem to be flailing like everybody else when it comes to gun control. And maybe it just hasn't been enough time for enough change yet. But one of the things that, it's sort of one of the constant narratives that I think we hear is, well, when it happens to rich people, things change. The rich people, they've got, they got their legislators on speed dial. They can do whatever they want with those campaign contributions, blah, 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 blah. And the reality is that here you're watching rich people and they seem to be spinning their wheels and floundering just like everybody else. It seems like the NRA doesn't care that Highland Park is rich and white.
And that's a good point.
So in a way, it's actually taking some hope out of me. If we can't have rich white people get shut up and then step up to fix these problems. Maybe the problem is unsolvable. And I don't know that I think that, but it's just sort of putting me in that mindset. You know, it's one thing when you've got, you know, black moms on the West Side marching. It's another thing when you got, you know, upper middle class and above white moms marching in Highland Park. But here and there, it just seems like they're marching.
That's a good point, Mark. Let me go in with you on that one. You said, and this is good because the NRA, they don't care that this happened in Highland Park, one of the richest communities in the nation. So we would have said, and we've been saying, the NRA don't care because black people getting killed. But you've just drawn a parallel of two communities, and the NRA still stands erect and refuses to bend, regardless to what community it is. So it's not about race.
When Nancy Rotering, the mayor of Highland Park, went to speak at the Capitol, she says she was disgusted because as soon as she started speaking, the Republicans got up and walked out. So they weren't even there to listen to her. So I thought that was very interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah, I had, sort of a real, and this is not new to me, of course, but visiting family in Wisconsin over the weekend, I attended a new cultural experience for me. I attended a tractor pull. Y'all black people aware of what a tractor pull is?
What's a tractor?
I got friends that grew up on farms, black friends that grew up on farms. They probably know what it is. I don't know what it is. I'm not a farm girl. I don't know.
Well, so you have these, and it's mostly young people. It's mostly teenage boys. But you got these young men who have these tricked out tractors. I mean, one of these tractors can cost several hundred thousand dollars. They pull a weight. Essentially, they pull a weight to see who can pull it farthest with their tricked out, souped up tractor. And, I'm sorry, my camera is not working because you'd see me in my Chicago heel t-shirt right now. And I didn't see any of those at the tractor pull.
Yeah.
I saw some Let's Go Brandon t-shirts, and that made me want to cry. We were at a family reunion yesterday, and I saw, a young man, a teenager, proudly wearing his NRA t-shirt, protecting the Second Amendment. And I just realized that there isn't a rich enough white person that could get that person to change. Okay, because I mean, as teenagers, they already got their NRA t-shirts.
Oh, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's crazy is just crazy. Evil is just evil, right?
No, I don't think so.
And this kid is neither crazy nor evil. He's a product of his upbringing.
Yeah.
It's a very logical thing.
And he's
Is it right? I don't know, but it is.
It is right. I mean, I could wear a t-shirt to protect the Second Amendment, but here is the thing. NRA members, let's put it this way. They are a part of an organization like I'm a part of, like you are a part of, Mark, and like you are a part of, Malika. Everybody's got their groups that they're with. And we all consider ourselves one of the good ones in our group. I believe that I'm one of the good legislators in the legislature, in the General Assembly. And I bring my piece to that party, the Democratic Party. There are some people that I disagree with. That doesn't make them bad. Which means that the young man that wears his NRA t-shirt, he's got a right to wear it. But what we need to demand of people that pay their dues, or not demand, but have conversations with them about how to make the organization that they pay their dues better. So we don't want to down him for being a member of the NRA. We need him to make sure that he helps the NRA come along and realize that we should change our mission. We should join the efforts to save lives. No different than me as a legislator need to let my Democratic Party know that we need to be more inclusive, and letting the Republicans know you need to be more inclusive and we need to work together. Lobbyists got to do the same thing.
You're such a good person, Rep Ford. It makes me sick sometimes. You're such a good, logical person. I think some state representatives are bad people.
Right. I do too.
I think some of them are bad people, but you're right. The NRA, not everybody in the NRA is crazy and evil. So I shouldn't say that, but I am. There was a time when the NRA was just an organization, like they weren't about the assault war weapons.
It was like that. It was like it's like a soccer league or a baseball league. They're not evil,
right. But I didn't say that because of what you said. I just said it because of the NRA. Right? It's an organization.
Yeah.
It wasn't to go against what you said, because you didn't say anything wrong. I just wanted to make sure that that the young man has a right to be a part of the NRA.
You're right. You're right. He does. Let's hope he's sane and he'll be one of the good ones.
And you know, when you're a teenager wearing a t-shirt like that, are you even wearing it to make any kind of a political statement, or are you wearing because you think the little girls will like it, you know?
Right.
That's what their fathers wear. I don't know. It's just so insidious. You know, makes me want to, you know, pick up my family and move down there just to get a couple more Democratic votes in that county. But you know, I got my daughter in Milwaukee now, so that's one more Democratic vote for. We'll see what happens there. But yeah, it's scary because. You know, and look at the different world. Nobody in your community, Representative Ford's wearing NRA t-shirts.
Right.
You know, they may or may not have access or use a weapon, but nobody's doing it to protect the Second Amendment. You know what I mean?
Right. So what would happen if I, as a Democrat, signed up to be an NRA member? And wore an NRA t-shirt. Does that make me a bad person?
No, it just makes you mentally unstable.
See, that's what I now see.
Why would I be mentally unstable?
People would just look at you like, why is he?
The dude switched teams.
See, I mean, so that's what I'm saying. So you're telling me all of the Democrats that are NRA members, gun owners, Second Amendment lovers, they do everything right. Just the NRA t-shirt would make me look like I didn't lost it.
Yeah, because of what they've become. They weren't always.
And within the...
Yeah, go ahead, Mark.
Well, just within the context of what you are, you know, I mean, well, I don't know. First of all, I would be real curious to just see a, you know, in real life, Black person wearing an NRA t-shirt. I figure there's ought to be one somewhere out. I mean, you know, I go to a hockey game and I see a couple Black people. There's one or two who are NASCAR fans. I assume there's a couple that have NRA t-shirts too. But, you know, in general, you look at a person of color, you assume a certain kind of politics. And that's probably, you know, something we shouldn't do to begin with. We can't assume. You know, to me, it's just if I didn't know you and I saw you wearing an NRA t-shirt, that's one kind of thing. If I didn't know you and I saw you were Black and wearing an NRA t-shirt, that's another kind of thing. And then if I know you and know what you stand for and I saw you wearing an NRA t-shirt, I'd say, oh, maybe the dude's going to a costume party or something, you know.
All right. So I'm just going to read what is the NRA from their website. So it's the National Rifle Association. And it says the NRA is an American preeminent gun rights organization made up of nearly 5 million members. Together, we fight and win the toughest battles for the Second Amendment, all while offering the best firearms educational programs in the country. Every day, the NRA fights back against politicians, judges, bureaucrats who want to regulate, restrict, and ultimately destroy your Second Amendment freedom. Huh. And the benefits of being an NRA member. As an NRA member, you'll get an official NRA membership card and a free NRA decal and a free subscription to one of the NRA award-winning magazines. Plus, you'll receive valuable NRA five-star benefits that put hundreds of dollars back in your pocket. Choose the magazine, special savings, free admissions to events and shows. There it is right there, and it costs you. Your one-year NRA membership is $45 and unlocks all of the NRA benefits. Well, how about that?
$45?
$45. And now, and I'll stop right here. I'll stop right here so that you know how they use my money. How does NRA use my membership dues? Your support will help us defend your Second Amendment freedom whenever and wherever it comes under attack. In addition, your membership dues will help the NRA cultivate the next generation of sportsmen and women through our youth firearm trainings, empowering women in our self-defense programs, and support our police officers with our world-class law enforcement training programs. That's who we're up against. 5 million people. Hmm. That's just 5 million. It's more.
And that's the five, first of all, I guess we don't really can't take their word for it because all those organizations, I think, overestimate their core constituency. But whatever it is, it's significant. It's funny. The NRA sounds like the AAA when you read it that way. You get discounts on your hotel rooms and, 5% off on your airplane tickets and cash back for your gas purchases or whatever it is. It almost sounds like a normal organization. And then you really think through about what its agenda is, and they tell you very clearly what the agenda is. But, I wonder if somebody who doesn't have a political agenda but just is interested in firearms goes to one of those classes and gets indoctrinated. I wonder what those classes that the NRA teaches are like, and I wonder... I wonder what it makes me curious to hear what the curriculum is and how much of it is about learning to shoot straight and how much of it is the politics.
Mm.
And I think that anytime you are part of a membership of an organization, you should help them. You pay your dues, not to be just followers, but to be participants and to say, hey, something's not right. I want to help this organization be better, more inclusive, and we should be about saving lives.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about, I would assume there's some Black membership, right? You ever talk to any Black NRA members?
Absolutely. And they fall right in line with we don't need to ban assault rifles. We don't need to ban automatic magazines. And there's no reason to restrict the Second Amendment. They are lockstep.
Do they have assault rifles to protect themselves or to hunt? Or what do Black people do with assault rifles?
Look, you know one of the people that he's all over the internet, and I'll say his name, Maxwell. I won't say his last name, but he's one of the Black people that loves his guns.
Yes, and, he does.
Right? Oh, you know him too. Mm-hmm. So he loves his guns, and he actually told me and many other Blacks that we need to stop the government from trying to take our guns away. They subscribe to the days when, I think it was during the Black Panthers era, right? When the government wanted to take away the guns from the Black Panthers down, where was it, in Texas?
Was it Texas?
when the Black Panthers would have their guns out in the open, and mm-hmm. that's when we had some more restrictions on what we call gun laws.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a cliche, but it's true. You pull together a battalion of Black people and heavily arm them, and all of a sudden, white-based organizations, shall I say, begin to change their views on what's acceptable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wonder how would the NRA feel if we armed, Black men around the country? Would they be okay with it, you think, or would they
change
their mind?
I think they'll be okay with it. They are resolute about their position, and I don't know how one-sided they are. I mean, they might, I don't see them saying we don't want the Black people. They just going to stay straight and say don't restrict, period.
There should be restriction on assault rifles. There's no need for it. There really isn't a need.
There you go again, Malika.
with your logic and stuff.
Right.
There's just no need. For hunting, from what I understand, my friends who grew up on farms, they were like, an assault rifle, if you shot an animal with an assault rifle, you know, for to serve dinner to your family or breakfast or whatever, the animal will be filled with lead.
Oh, right.
So you can't eat it.
Oh, so it's not even good for hunting.
No, it's not good for hunting.
No, nobody hunts with assault weapons.
No.
What the hell? I don't get it.
Right. Except if they're at a parade or a school.
So, all right. That's why, I mean, I agree with you, Malika, and I've said it publicly that I believe that we should have a law to outlaw assault rifles. I understand that people enjoy them and they go to gun ranges and they enjoy shooting them because it's a sport and it's fun. And it's their money. They should be able to do what they want with it. But, you know, I think that there was a parallel that you and Mark made in the previous episode about smoking. And we saw a need to implement new laws about cigarette smoking in public places. And here's another one. Nicotine. That's now on the table to outlaw nicotine in cigarettes. Oh, is it nicotine or menthol?
Should be nicotine.
Well, menthol is getting outlawed.
So menthol. So what? Tell me, Mark. You once lobbied for the
a health group.
Yeah. So nicotine, menthol. So we have found that menthol causes what? And so now government is doing something.
Well, menthol is actually the main problem with menthol is that it makes cigarettes that much more addictive. And menthol has always been targeted at the Black community. The menthol essentially amplifies the effects of nicotine and sort of mutes the effects of, inhaling burning leaves. it sort of soothes the lungs and the throat as you're inhaling. And at the same time, just like a cough drop would, and at the same time, it amplifies the effects of the nicotine and makes it more addictive. We all know that historically nicotine cigarettes have been targeted at communities of color, in particular the Black community, where most of the nicotine products are sold is in the Black community. And I don't know why that is, but it is a sort of a noticeable breakdown in terms of who smokes what. But, unfortunately for us, fortunately for the people who want to ban nicotine, there wasn't a nicotine amendment in the U.S. Constitution. I wish there wasn't a gun one either. But, yes, you are right. Smoking is getting more and more restricted because of how bad it is.
But, do you see the tobacco industry fighting this? I mean, because this is a good example of menthol being outlawed because it's causing problems. Whereas we could say we know that these automatic assault rifles are causing problems. And so we're saying, okay, because we're logical thinkers, we're human beings, we see something that's harming us as a society, we have to do something about it. So we're doing it with cigarettes, menthol. Why can't we do it with assault rifles?
And, you know, people would, of course, argue with you because, you know, you don't use nicotine cigarettes to protect yourself. Somebody breaks in at night and you don't have, you know, again, a cigarette or a nicotine amendment to the Constitution. So nicotine is much more of a thing that can be just bad rather than sort of good and bad, pluses and minuses. And then also you can't fall back on that, you know, well, the founding fathers wanted us to have nicotine, but, you know, everybody's talking about the founding fathers wanting us to have, and, you know, you can have the arguments about that. They, you know, the founding fathers were talking about, you know, a musket that, you know, takes whatever, seconds or minutes to load between each shot. So it's definitely not an assault weapon. So I think there are huge differences, but here's the real problem is we were able to put tobacco companies within the right context. It was all about profit. There is no redeeming characteristic. And the tobacco companies were able to be sort of called out for being greedy and dishonest, which they were, are, I don't know, take your pick. And, you know, Representative, you're talking to a former smoker, so I'm not judging. I'm just talking. So it's actually a really good perspective. What is it that the cigarette companies fail to do that the NRA is doing and the industry is doing that sort of puts essentially a bulletproof coating on them? How come we were able to take the tobacco industry down, but we're not able to take the gun industry down?
I think it's because so many people, I don't think you can walk past anyone these days who hasn't lost someone to cancer. And not to say that everyone who has passed of cancer had anything to do with cigarette smoke, but because we know that cigarette smoke, secondhand smoke is, you know, it impacts your health and that it causes cancer, lung cancer. I mean, I think it just started affecting everyone, not just random group of people over here or this community over here, or it was impacting everyone. So I think that's my thought, is that it was just crossing the line to everyone.
Yeah, it's a health thing. It's a health thing. And let me tell you, when you talk about, you know, what the Second Amendment does, I got something for us and we're going to go to it right now. We're going to play it. And this is what government is supposed to do. Government is supposed to protect the welfare of its people. And when you think about it, if you believe in America and all that America is and what it stands for, when you see a problem, then it's our job to do something about it. And so we'll pause and then we can play this. And you guys, everyone that graduated from grammar school had to understand this simple thing called the preamble. And let's listen to it. And let's let the people that don't understand how assault rifles are bad and that government should step in to do something to save lives from preventable deaths. All right, here we go.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
All right, there it is, right there. There it is, right there. I'm going to step back and let me see what y'all think and I'll tell you what I think.
It reminded me of the movie Hunger Games. That's all I got to say.
It did have that tone, didn't it?
Yes. Yes.
The words, though, that's what I mean. The words.
Does anybody care about words anymore?
They care, depending on who says them. I mean, when you say establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, but most important, promote the general welfare. That's what we're supposed to do.
That's what we're supposed to do. But what do I always say?
It depends on how you define general welfare.
But you know what? If people are dying in mass numbers, then we got a problem and we need to promote the general welfare. What does that mean? That's what, you know, it's funny you say it that way, Mark. Does promoting the general welfare mean that we have to make sure that more good guys have assault rifles because they're bad guys? Is that how we promote the general welfare and protect it? Or do we just get rid of them because it's the right thing to do? Do we need more? Do we need none?
And how much of it is actually meaningful and how much of it is just words? You know, I mean, to go back to the tobacco example, because there's so many parallels there. You know, you remember, Representative, when we started pushing back against tobacco a decade or two ago, more than a decade ago. But I remember the dialogue between smoke-free places and places where smoking's allowed. And, you know, there was this passionate debate about whether to allow smoking in bars and restaurants. And the tobacco industry was very smart. They couldn't come back and say, well, you know, the smoking's fine. You should, you know, go ahead and smoke. It's not going to hurt you. You know, secondhand smoke is fine. What they talked about was the same thing. You know, they tried to seize on words that we are so familiar with and favorable to. So they talked about choice. They talked about people's rights to choose, grown-ups being able to choose whether to smoke or not smoke. And they also talked about choice in smoking establishments. So that is, what's wrong with a smoking section and a non-smoking section? Everybody who's in a smoking section can, you know, is there in a smoking section, and you know, you see a sign that this is the smoking section and you go sit in the non-smoking section. And you know what? People started traveling along that road. That seemed plausible and that seemed normal, and people were inclined to agree with it until you reminded them that there is no such thing as a smoke-free environment if they're smoking. So it's almost like our words and their words, whose words are more powerful. They were winning with their words of freedom of choice, of having smoking spaces and non-smoking spaces, and adults being able to choose. And, you know, when we were in that situation as the health groups, I came up with, you know, an explanation for this. And you know, we kept saying, well, there is no such thing as truly smoke-free places if the section of a restaurant smoking, the smoke doesn't stay in the smoking section.
Right.
And nobody really understood. You know what changed? What changed was that you know, and I'll take credit as one of the originators. At that point, I was thought to be very uncouth, but a few of us started saying, well, having a smoking section in a restaurant is like having a peeing section in a swimming pool. Okay. Now, that, for some reason, that simple formulation, that simple statement, just showed how ridiculous the whole argument was of smoke-free and smoking places and rights and choices. There is no choice. If you're somewhere where smoking's allowed, even if you're in the smoke-free section, the smokers make that decision for you. You're smoking, right. You're inhaling. And so we just had to sort of break through the whole hoopla of waving the American flag and talking about people's rights to choose what they do and make it look as ridiculous as it was. And you know, maybe we have not yet hit on the PR formulation for gun control that will help us expose the ridiculousness of some of the arguments that they make.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, white man, you know, you just took over. You know, you white people, you know, you just took over the whole conversation, and now it's over.
I know. I secretly work for the NRA. I just wanted to filibuster.
Man,
that's a good point, though. I don't think we've come up with a slogan yet to put the ban on the side. We haven't come up with something that just hits home with everyone.
We don't need a slogan, Malika and Mark. What we need is to come together and respect even those that we believe don't agree with our interests until we can find that common ground. Before you can even begin negotiations, you have to respect one another. There is no respect for the NRA. Therefore, we will never have the ability to negotiate with them. I'm saying, as a legislator, I want to meet with you. I'm saying, let's talk. That's what we have to do. If we're going to keep fighting, telling them you're wrong and they're telling us we're wrong, then that's the fight. Instead of saying we're going to fight to stay alive.
Until somebody shoots somebody, then the fight's over.
And that's the episode of Chicago Hill. Talking about a lot more on our next episode. But this, Malika, has been a great episode of Chicago Hill. Malika,
yes, take us away. As always, man, let's just ban them things. Just ban them.
Oh, Lord, there she go again.
Just ban them.
Malika said that we got to find common ground.
Malika, you know what we need to do? We need to, on social media, when we put this episode out, we need to solicit, smart sayings from people that would get us to put guns into context. Like, you know, like, what's the equivalent of, you know, having a smoking section in a restaurant, like having a peeing section in a swimming pool? Exactly. Once we come up with the formulation for guns, we need to crowdsource this sucker, Malika.
Yes.
Oh my goodness, you guys are just, you guys just refuse to try to find peace with these people. I don't know. I might give me an NRA t-shirt and tell you. All right? Malika, can we at least talk to them before we, and for the record, I am a sponsor of a bill to ban assault rifles. So I am with you, but I'm still willing to retreat to talk. But you guys don't even want to talk. Goodness gracious.
I'd get you an NRA t-shirt for Christmas, except I don't want to give them the money.
Oh, you guys, I think you guys are exactly what the Republicans talk about. You want to take their guns away. You want to take their guns away from them.
Not all their guns, just the war ones, the war weapons. Just the war weapons.
Yeah, if we're okay with them doing tractor pulls, we just don't want them doing tank pulls.
Right.
You know what? There you go. I mean, you're worried about those assault weapons, but a lot of people, and I think that Mark, you said it on a previous episode, and other people are saying it too, those handguns are causing more deaths than those. So what are you guys, why are you picking on their assault rifles?
Well, the handguns, not, this is going to sound cold, but the handguns, not as many people, not masses of people are getting killed, unless it's, I don't know, you all know the terminology, the magazine.
Yeah,
unless they do that. I think Mark had talked about that in one of our previous shows.
Well, let me put it this way. If you shoot an animal with an assault rifle, you're not going to eat it because of lead poisoning.
Right.
Okay. That's very different than drinking your water on the west side of Chicago and getting lead poisoning. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. One is done to you. One you do to yourself.
Right. Well, we are out of time. And you guys, this is enough of you guys attacking the NRA. And we're never going to get to the table with them if you guys continue this. We can close the show because you guys are beating us in a big hole.
Thank you all. Stay tuned for more. Ooh, I got a topic next week.
Ooh, I can't wait. You want to tell them now? Or are you going to wait?
No, we're going to wait. We're going to wait.
All right. See you guys later.
And Mark, don't be stupid.
Yeah, don't be stupid, y'all. Have a good week.
Bye. Okay.